This episode of Film Sack is brought to you by Audible. At audible.com, you can get the greatest audiobooks for hardly any money. I mean, it's almost a ripoff. You're making such a good deal. It's like they don't even know how amazing this service is. Audible.com is a great place to go. Science fiction, fantasy, all the genres I love. Over 150,000 titles across all types of literature. If you'd like a free audiobook today, get one on us by going to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack.
People might listen to this then.
We're out of beta. This is the real deal.
Do you dream of a vacation at the bottom of the ocean, but you can't float the bill? Have you always wanted to climb the mountains of Mars, but now you're over the hill? Then come to Recall Incorporated, where you can buy the memory of your ideal vacation cheaper, safer, and better than the real thing. So don't let life pass you by. Call Recall for the memory of a lifetime.
Get your ass to Mars. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 236, Mining the Depths of Film Entertainment for All Mankind. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm joined tonight by Brian Three Boobs Dunaway.
Hey, welcome to Mars, the red planet where we constantly are trying to get the outside on the inside by living in domes made of glass and equipping our peace officers with projectile weapons and virtually no common sense. Do you want to die? Also, try not to look directly at Dean Norris, a.k.a. Hank from Breaking Bad, a.k.a. the guy with an unfortunate facial mutation shaped like a vagina. He has a blanket. Stress ball? That's what you look like if you go outside.
Oh, yeah, with the eyes that come out of those things. Yeah. Forgot about those.
Forgot that was Dean Norris.
That's great. Yeah, totally Dean Norris. Also with us, Randy, speaking of which, vagina head Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian. If you are listening to this greeting, well, I've got a surprise for you. You are not you. You're me. Now, I know that's kind of hard to believe at the moment, but I need you to focus and listen to me, because you've got a huge career ahead of you, capitalizing on a skill that you have that no one else who has ever lived has. You can make a wet towel into a perfect turban in like 11 seconds. You're freaking amazing with wet towels. Look at how that thing has stayed on your head. Go sell that skill. You, me, we're going to be rich.
Wow. True story. And that turban was pretty sweet. And with us finally, Brian Bulgy Eyes Ibbot.
So a lot of people, you know, they watch this movie and they think that that head that Arnold Schwarzenegger picks up and uses a disguise malfunctions, right?
Yeah.
No. Weeks. It was actually the the first day on the job for that Mars TSA guy, right? Yeah. And he did not know the typical protocol. There are three questions you ask, and then you let the person through. First question is, how long are you planning on staying on Mars? 2 weeks. Would you be strong enough to lift and remove a safety door if we put you in an exit row? Too weak. If we show a scary in-flight film with a couple of very intense scenes, what will you say? 2 weeks. See?
Very creative intro today. I like that one a lot. They're all talking about this movie, Total Recall. You know Total Recall.
Are you feeling froggy?
Total Recall is the movie. Total Recall, the original, not the new one with what's his name, not the Irish guy, the old one with Arnold Schwarzenegger and all those people.
Hey, the Sharon new Stone, like all the way from 2012 at this point.
Yeah, that was a while ago now.
It's not as new, but also not as good.
Also, didn't see it. Have we all seen that? But me, I haven't seen it.
I've seen it.
Brian or Randy, you see it?
Nope. Don't know anything about it. I'm assuming the Irish guy is Colin Farrell.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Don't know anything about it. You probably know more about it than you think.
Yeah. It's not good.
And
they didn't go to Mars.
Is Quado.
Right? Didn't they go? They didn't go to Mars. No. Mars. That didn't happen. Yeah,
it was Mars to you.
The movie, but they didn't remake this movie?
No, they took it. They took the original Philip K. Dick business and they turned it into more, supposedly a little closer to the original. But I look, if the Mars part was Verhoeven going crazy with the Mars part, that's the part you keep. Yeah. That's right. The best part.
It's the good parts.
Yeah. The best part is on Mars. That's where you need to get your ass to, the movie tells us over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Mars.
And how
don't
else
stay.
Are you supposed to get sucked outside and...
Yeah. Not stay on Earth. Hey, stay on Earth. Stay on Earth. Stay on Earth. Nobody said that. Anyway. Hey, I got this much to tell you before I let Fletcher take over, and that is Total Recall from 1990 is still really awesome. So we'll talk about all that in a second. Here's Fletcher to tell more.
Total Recall. Paul Verhoeven's violent science fiction adventure follows a construction worker who discovers a memory chip in his brain during a virtual reality trip.
Oh, that's a short and sweet version of that story. This movie is great. It's still good. It's still weird and
it
awesome
holds
and holds up. Yes, it's in some ways it doesn't, but it's in great ways, like cheesy ways that are still great. And it's bloody as all crap. And I actually think it's some of Arnie's best actual acting, like better than his usual fare.
That is such a. That's such a low line on the bar graph to like looking at the peak. Right?
I agree. I agree.
Here's Twins and here's your movie. Good job.
Right, exactly.
Kindergarten Cop. What else? I mean, some of the stuff where he tried to play a little more straight feels like that was maybe some of his better acting chops. But of the action movies.
You don't hire Schwarzenegger for his acting.
No.
No.
You hire him for his huge frame.
You
hire him for his pecs. Yeah. You hire him for his...
Which, by the way, I would now argue, having... seen all these movies we've seen on FilmSack with him in them, but if you go back now, this has to be the one with the most of that ridiculous thing. Yeah, the most yargs, wouldn't you say?
Are we calling them yargs?
Sure. Why not?
I write them out as blargles in my notes, but yeah.
Blargles.
Yeah, blargles.
The blargles.
Let's come up with as many words as we can to describe Arnold going, blah!
But it's easily the most, and I'd forgotten how much. Like, it just, every minute he was in a pinch, he would, he'd let fly with that stuff.
He sits down in one of those chairs anytime he, is fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Anytime Alina grabbed his nuts, he was like, he did it every time.
Yeah.
You got to recognize that this is Arnold at his best in terms of being able to speak clearly, and you're still better off asking him to make grunting sounds than to actually enunciate words in English.
I think so. I mean, and when he was trying to be his serious past self that was fully aware of everything and was so quietly sort of nonchalantly talking on the screen, telling him how to take the big robot booger out of his nose and all that.
Let's just talk about the big robot booger for a second, okay?
All right,
because
if you had that
big robot booger in your nose, you couldn't breathe ever. That has to take up your entire sinus cavity.
Well, it was up his... Yeah, well, okay. Let's say it was his sinuses.
Let's just say it's way up in one of those orbital sinuses, and let's say that they're big enough to hold it. They're not.
No,
but let's just imagine they are.
Let's even imagine it's way up in his brain somewhere, and that this is the only way out. It would shatter everything on its way down. Like, there's no way your sinus cavities would be in any sort of shape. Like, he should have been deviated septum man for the rest of the movie.
So he was talking like this.
Skin ripping moments.
Right.
The question is, why did they portray it as being so large? And I can't help thinking, because it didn't actually hurt your disbelief. You're just watching this going, oh, wow, that's horrible.
Yeah.
And off you go.
Cool. Yeah.
You don't really stop and say, all right, I'm stopping the movie. That's just not realistic enough.
It still had, though, it had that quality of, because, those are fake heads and fake, faces and things that they were using when they would do certain shots. And you can always tell if the eyes aren't right and the way they're shaking is a little bit weird and it feels unhuman. And, you can see some of the finish work on the teeth and stuff.
Uncanny Valley, yeah.
Very much. But I love that look of that stuff. It used to freak me out when I was younger. I'm kind of all into that now. Like, I think that is a really cool art.
And they really got their mileage out of those things, too. I mean, they made those models and they decided we're going to get as much use out of these things as possible.
Yep. We're going to have their eyes pop out, their tongues jet out, and they're going to hold their breath and freak out and flop around. And they even made one for the girl. Like, these are really realistic, well-made. I don't know who did makeup. I meant to look that up, but like whoever's doing these prosthetics or these animatronic, whatever they are, whoever's doing that deserves something, because these are badass. And kind of awful at the same time, which just makes them, you know, kind of perfect. And like Ronnie Cox's model out there flopping around on the surface of Mars. Unbelievable.
Like, they pushed that one to the limit because it was just about to pop.
Yeah. That one's not going to be ending up in the Planet Hollywood. They destroyed that thing on the way.
No, they just had to hang it up by a nail and hope for the best. Like, it's just nasty.
So the main guy that they list for makeup is a guy named Craig Berkeley. Mm. And the only other really big thing that he had anything to do with was the 1991 JFK.
Oh, no
the
way.
Oliver Stone JFK.
Oh,
yeah.
Another head blow up.
Yeah, the forward and back.
Oh, right. That's
to the left.
So wrong.
No, how to go back and to the left. There
too soon? Too soon? Yes. Come on.
Now,
also listed is Rob Botten. And he's a makeup artist, and he's done some stuff as well.
He's bigger, because then they say it right. The Botten Effects crew, a lot of special effects listed for a team called the Botten Effects crew.
Mm. And they went on to do other things.
RoboCop, Verhoeven. Hello.
Yeah.
Seven. I wonder if that head in the box was a little bit of his work.
No, but
left over maybe. Ronnie Cox head.
Right? Maybe his eyes were all bulging out.
I want to go the other way here because I agree that the makeup, the prosthetics, the special effects on the people were amazing. Mm. But I got a point, give a wag of the finger to Erica Adele Phillips, who was in charge of the costuming for this movie. This is the same person who did costuming for RoboCop, which we've seen, other lots of action films like Air Force One and Perfect Storm. She phoned it in for this movie. The costume design it screams 1990. Look at every person's hair.
It's so grunge.
Wardrobe. Yeah. It's like looking back in time instead of forward in time, which is
lots of pastels and lots of layers.
It's all that grunge time from the 90s.
Everybody in this movie looked like the exact same wardrobes that Friends were wearing in their first season on TV.
A little bit. Yeah, we've been watching that, and you're totally right. Also, it reminded me of TNG when they go to another planet in the first couple seasons and what people would wear there. Mm-hmm. Lots of clothy sort of layers.
Drapey. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So this was one of her earlier films. I'm assuming she, you know, got better because she had a long and lustrous career making, you know, films like Soldier and Air Force One and Perfect Storm. But the whole movie, it really knocked me back because I've seen this movie like seven times.
Yeah.
And it really knocked me back seeing people in the blazers with the, what do you call it, the shoulder pads.
Yeah.
And you know, the skinny flat slacks.
Well, 90, kind of. I mean, you were transitioning. This was a very 80s smacks its head straight into the forehead of early 90s, and it's a weird combo because I'm getting both vibes. I'm getting 90s vibe off of this thing, and I'm getting a really ugly 80s vibe off of it.
And but like in the first chase scene, you know, in the metro where he's getting away for the first time.
Yeah.
The first big action scene, there's lots of extras. And there were people who were dressed so 90s that I was like, did they just take him off the street? That guy's wearing a bolo tie.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Totally felt the same way.
I wish the cars looked more 90s. My gosh.
What was up with that? I like the futuristic cars.
They're so bad, dude.
It's kind of like that Time Cop thing where all the futuristic cars at that time were supposed to go opposite direction of aerodynamic. They're supposed to all become boxy and square.
Boxy and funky front ends and like sleeker back ends. And another one, what was the, I always want to say Millennium Man. What's the one with?
Running Man.
No, the one with freaking Sylvester Stallone and.
Demolition Man.
I can never say that Millennium. I always say Millennium Man. Anyway, Demolition Man.
I always
say
Judge Dredd when I mean Demolition Man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that movie also, I don't know if you guys remember, that movie had the dumbest cars in it. And it's like this desire they have. Like RoboCop, they just full on said, they're just going to be Ford Tauruses. We're just doing that.
And this one. Dirty street. Yeah.
Yeah. But this one, they're like, let's take a chassis and let's put some kind of weird, horrible thing on shell.
To be kind of like that time when we were kind of enamored with the whole radar detector can't detect our stealth jets or something. Maybe that was supposed to be the future.
But it doesn't make any
sense to be aerodynamic.
Yeah. Hold on.
I'm not going to stop. I can't.
Weren't you impressed with the idea that Johnny Cab is pretty much what we want from Google Car?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, dude. And oh. Hey, I'll say this. So yes, navigationally speaking, yes. But also, Robert Picardo, I would be happy if he would voice the voice of the Google car.
What is your medical emergency and destination?
Exactly, he's great.
Hey, there was a lot of technology in this movie that said, "Hey, we want this for the future," and it's actually come true. Like that, I wasn't even impressed at all that there were TV panels on the wall because that just seems like a natural. You know, if you were upper crust, you could easily have three panels of TVs. Back in 1990, that would have seemed, you know, totally future.
Yeah. And you might recall early in the early days of FilmSac, I made a prediction that we would never see a film that was shot before a certain year that had widescreen. Well, they almost broke the rule with this one because they had 3 4x3 screens side by side over their breakfast table. And it looks like an interrupted widescreen TV.
It does. And yeah, my favorite thing was this 4x3 screens ratios all turned on their ends and then like a long triangle in the middle of it where they'd like, video phone each other. It looked like what we are now seeing with people, stupid people, mind you, that take their phones out and film them vertically instead of horizontally a bunch of dumbasses. And it occurred to me, maybe Verhoeven's a freaking prophet and he figured it out. He knew one day we wouldn't know what the hell to do with our aspect ratio.
I think so. Yeah. We agree. Very, very, very good at predicting the future, really.
Well, they have how about this one, Brian? How about this one?
Johnny Cab is very much like a Siri kind of, like you said, like Google Car kind of thing. I mean, it is because you ask it to do one thing and it only can do within its parameters. You know, anything beyond that, she's like,
I don't know what destination is shit.
Yeah.
Once again, though, no prediction of internet. None.
Yeah, none.
And it makes me sad because I recently sat and read all the Douglas Adams books. I hadn't done it in years and years. And I just read all the Douglas Adams books. And in 1979, he was talking about technology. He didn't use the word internet, of course, but he was talking about internet.
He had
the Hitchhiker's Guide itself, the book, getting updates over Wi-Fi that went across the whole galaxy.
Yeah.
Like, this was something that people had already been predicting for over a decade. And this movie just like, nope, not even going to touch it. How interesting could it have been if they had just thought about, if they just known that Wi-Fi internet was coming? Well, there would have been so much more communications and such less of this characters don't know what other characters.
Would you need the internet if you had the ability to inject memories into your mind?
Well, maybe not, but that's not the point. Like the people that aren't in the memories or aren't remembering anything, the way they were communicating was kind of ridiculous. So you have, on the one hand, you had video phones that were literally in the room next to you where a giant window was where you could
built
see the
into
guy.
The table.
Square. Yeah, exactly.
Not mobile.
Again, a rotated TV. There's also a lot of wasted screen space. They would have these screens and have like 5 on a wall all showing the exact same footage no matter what was on them. So if it's Ronnie Cox's pissed off face or if it's a picture of the landscape of Mars or whatever, it's always this duplicate. The car had the same thing. 3 screens showing the exact same thing across all 3. Now, part of me says, ooh, as a kid, I'd go, that seems so futuristic to have so many screens all talking to you. But what a waste. Like, they never used it for anything else. It was never like, this screen is what, you know, it's not like playing WoW on one screen and I got, you know, WoW head up on another screen and whatever on the other one. I almost said ThoughtBot. Holy crap, it was 8 years ago.
It's like having 2 computer monitors and running them on duplication.
Yeah, just running a mirrored version of everything you got in the middle. That doesn't make any sense to me.
And don't forget that the, like some of the great technology, still with a payphone, right?
Yeah.
Still with a payphone that you leave a suitcase next to. And,
and that's what I'm, getting at about internet and Wi-Fi. Like Johnny Cab was really, really limited. The actual Google car that will, someone's going to call Johnny Cab, by the way, about 10 years from now. The actual car is going to be able to talk to the entire internet. Mm-hmm. So you'll have so much more processing power. You'll get in that cab and say anything you want, and Siri will be able to, you know, talk back to you intelligently.
Well, okay, Google.
Will the Google car blow up if you don't pay an $18 fare?
After you yank the navigator out and then you lay him to the side, he's just going to blow up? That made absolutely no sense.
I'm sorry that we watched RoboCop 2 because I'm thinking, those straps are going to come out and fry him in this thing.
Yeah. We're all a little sorry we saw. We're all a little sorry we saw RoboCop 2, by the way. Yeah. It was all very sad. But the cool thing about Johnny Cab was, again, they're using that technology, and I think to a better extent here, because usually when you see like a prosthetic Arnie, it's to convince us that Arnie just lifted the old lady's separating face off his head, and that's supposed to be Arnie under there.
Ooh, did you pause in the middle of that?
I did. It's gross.
Yeah, it's bad.
I think it's just
the fake Arnie that's underneath.
It's a wax Arnold face.
It looks really bad.
Yeah.
But in the case of Johnny Cab, it's obviously meant to be the torso of a robot and an articulating face, and it's supposed to somewhat mimic a human, but it's overly smiling and overly congenial to its, to its patrons. And that was really effective. Like, I would not mind having, imagine your own mounted Johnny Cab animatronic that would just sit in a room someplace and kind of rotate and occasionally make little quips like, I hope you're having a wonderful day. And just that creepy smile and face. Like, if you ask me the kind of...
So a physical version of Clippy.
Yes. I don't need him to be useful.
You want the robot from Rocky IV, don't you?
Yeah, I want that. No, I don't want that. I want this one to hold totally still. It's purely for looks. He doesn't have to actually do anything for me. Everybody wants props. I want a lightsaber. I want a version of R2-D2 or whatever. I want none of that. I want Johnny Cab mounted to the cement with that like bolting, lower torso thing. And I want him to look all dirty and grimy and have him just kind of jerking around all the time and occasionally asking me how my day's going. That would be the coolest prop in the history of ever. Now, I know that'll probably cost me about 50 grand, but still.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude.
It won't do anything.
Hey, Bill Duran, what do you got in there for me, buddy?
The programming on the software side, it's practically free. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of building the thing and working out all of the mechanics, on the inside.
Yeah, it's a beast. You'd have to dedicate yourself and have the wherewithal to do it. But as movie props go, it's one of my favorites. It's just a cool idea. And it's not so much that it's well made or that it's convincing or even that it's funny. It's just, I feel like real artists made it. And it holds up as an object in a film that it has a very small part, but everybody remembers Johnny Cab more than they remember Three Boob Lady or
there
Vagina
were
Head.
So many things I didn't remember about this movie, and I'm telling you, I've seen it 7 times, all in the 90s.
All right, name them, list them.
Okay, right out of the gate, I want to ask you guys: you wake up in the morning with your romantic partner there in the bed with you,
Sharon Stone.
Yeah.
1990 Sharon Stone.
Have you or has anyone you've known ever told you that when they wake up in the morning, their romantic partner beats the crap out of them? Mm-hmm. She was punching him hard.
Yes.
Well, what do you expect talking about his dreams of a brunette to a blonde wife?
I just couldn't believe it. I don't remember that at all. And you got to watch that scene for how hard she's hitting Arnold Schwarzenegger. You get the feeling Sharon Stone hated his guts.
Well, it says, according to trivia, Arnold was impressed by her in this way. He thought she just completely kicked butt and thought she should be in way more action movies. And really, as a guy who was still kind of in his prime, was impressed with how strong and how agile she was.
The three words I would use to describe Sharon Stone. All of a sudden, Chris Christie.
Yeah, well.
Sleazy, demure, and athletic.
Dude, you are, that was Chris Christie. That was really weird.
That was just Donald Trump, Chris Christie, and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I like it. It's a good combo.
If she's not sleazy enough, she's fired.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a screen. This is interesting. When Ronald Shusett and Dan O'Brien, first started working on the screenplay for the movie back in the 70s, they said the movie probably couldn't be made. It was too expensive, too hard to make. The effects of them sucked. The budget would have been hard. So they delayed working on the story instead. Guess what they worked on? This is crazy. They worked on this idea O'Banion had. Oh, Danny O'Banion had.
Hold on, I just want to guess.
Okay, take a guess.
Blade Runner.
Nope. But you're close. I'll tell you, you're close in that your director. You picked the right director.
Oh, Ridley Alien. Scott. Alien, yeah.
Yeah, Alien is the movie they made. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Good choice.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Because this movie really needed to wait till 1990 to really.
In a way, yeah. Like, part of me is so glad it was made in 90 when the practical effects were your only way. These miniatures are crazy good. Like that, the exteriors to Mars and stuff, amazing miniature work. Like, some of the best we've seen on this show, certainly. And it's one of the last major movies to really go crazy with that. What do they call them? It's not miniatures exactly. They call it maxi mini or whatever the hell it is. It's where they're larger scale miniatures. So there's, if you can see guys walking around in there, it'd still be a big set.
You could imagine Godzilla.
Yeah, you totally could.
Godzilla size.
Yeah, and it was one of the last movies to truly use that. It had great motion tracking on the cameras and stuff, so it looked like you were getting real fly-throughs on the canyons and things and all that. And it's such a great time for that, so I'm glad the movie got made then and not now. I mean, I know we have a new one in 2012, but forget that. Let's say they made it just the same script, same level of violence, same Verhoeven direction, and all that stuff today. I don't know if it would be as cool, because those effects really matter to me. Like, for whatever reason, I think that they are something to be cherished as an old way of making movies. And this movie used a ton of it. And it's everything. It's the guy's arms getting cut off. It's people getting blown up with shotguns. It's
not just any guy's arms. Michael Ironside arms.
Yeah, dude.
Well, yeah.
Sam Fisher. Oh.
I can't believe we haven't seen every single Michael Ironside movie as part of film sex, because it seems like only anything he does.
It's only been two, right? Two Verhoeven movies, and that's it?
He was in Starship Troopers
as
well.
That's a Verhoeven movie.
Oh, yeah. Is that Verhoeven? Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Michael Ironside's character Richter is in two examples of an amazing trope in this film, which we see all the time. I always forget to call it out.
What is that?
The circular firing squad. So there's a scene where he and his men have Schwarzenegger surrounded on all sides, and they're all firing, and they're within 10 feet of him, and it's a hologram, right?
Mm. Right.
And none of them hit each other. none of them hit anything.
Yeah.
But then they
do 5 seconds later when they try to do the same thing to Sharon Stone. I'm like, check your fire, man.
I'm trying to find it. Oh, here it is. Michael Ironside. He has been in two films that we've covered. I'm just checking this.
Uh-huh.
Starship Troopers, Top Gun, and it will be three with today.
Of course, Top Gun.
Yeah, Top Gun. So,
of course, he was the jet in Top Gun.
He was Dick Weatherly.
You don't have permission to buzz the tower, Maverick.
Yeah, that's the one.
Man, it was he was, you know, I love Michael Ironside and everything he does, but he was very, I don't know if underused would be the term here, but he just seemed very Michael Ironside-ish. He didn't seem like they really used him at all.
I think when you have Michael Ironsides, you use him sparingly.
Yeah.
Right, right. Well, just a little Ironsides will do you.
But what in this movie, he's the trope of the dragon, right? Yeah. The enforcer.
Yeah.
And it's not right for him. Mm. I don't know. He never felt quite right to me. Like, I wanted that guy to be more of a physical badass.
And I don't want to diminish Ronnie Cox's role in this movie, because I think he's great in this. I think he is ridiculous, over the top Ronnie Cox, just the way I like him. However, if you're casting for that part, I would have probably considered Ironsides for that part.
Right.
Ironside, rather.
But the point is, there's like five villains in this movie, and they're all paper thin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. Like, Sharon Stone's a bad guy. Hauser himself in the past is a bad guy, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's all these bad guys, all these villains. There's one that's kind of primary, but they don't do much to establish that there's a primary villain who has a story, and here's why he's bad. You know what I mean? Like, they just the movie doesn't need that.
Yeah, by the time you get to the end of the movie, you're expecting everybody is a bad guy, because even the taxi cab driver with the five kids, bad guy.
Yeah.
Not only bad teeth, bad guy.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, trope alert.
That's a troper, for hell's sakes.
This is multiple tropes. Nice guy that you just happen to encounter who turns out to be on the villain's payroll.
Yeah.
Jive talking guy.
Yep. Jive talking until he gets deadly serious and you find out who he's working for. Then he's suddenly Mr. Serious.
Total jive talking guy.
Yeah.
The trope of doesn't know what's going on, but somehow knows what's going on. Can you imagine how hard it would be to portray yourself as someone who doesn't know what's going on for an hour?
Yeah.
I do it every day.
And the fact that they got him to be their driver was pure happenstance anyway, because the other cabbie guy almost got it. It was just right down to the wire. So, you know, it wasn't planned very well that he was going to be the dude to take him around. Nor did it explain if he was getting paid off later. They didn't explain that or show that. Like, part of that is just irritating, because he's too easy. And the whole time he's on there, I'm like, all right, you're either going to be Chris Tucker type, who's just going to annoy me till the end.
Ruby Rod, yeah, right.
Or you're going to be the turncoat type. And I couldn't remember, because it's been a while. And as soon as he went four kids and pulled out his gun, and the guy said, what about five kids? Oh, you caught me, or whatever. I was like, damn it.
I was wondering about this in the movie, because, you know, this is the second Philip K. Dick adaptation we've watched. And the last one was my It might be more than that. Minority Report is the one I'm specifically referring to.
Yeah.
And I remember in that one, you know, people said, well, you know, one of his things he likes to do is, you know, it was all just a dream, which is kind of what this one implies. Schwarzenegger could have been, maybe he's in a dream, maybe he's not. And so if he really is in a dream where he's like remembering this stuff and he's getting the total recall, then you can kind of go, okay, well, this, it makes sense for, you know, those kind of turns in a dream, but in reality, it seems weird.
I think you're right. By the way, I was looking. There is no other Philip K. Dicks on our list except for those two.
You know why? Okay. I immediately blurted out that because I always forget that Omega Man isn't a Philip K. Dick story.
Yeah, but it's totally his vibe, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like there's more on the way, and like at some point we'll see Screamers. It just seems like that has to happen.
Yeah. So does Megaville. I think we'll eventually watch Megaville. Maybe Paycheck. Do you remember Paycheck?
Yeah, Paycheck. Ooh, yes, I remember Paycheck. John Woo movie with Aaron Eckhart and somebody else.
Ben Affleck,
yeah.
Yep. I always want to say Reindeer Games whenever I think of that movie as well. Both.
There's something called, where is it?
Where is it be?
What's
where
the weird be? One I never want to see again besides Next? That Nicolas
Did you
Cage
see movie? Natural City?
No.
Okay. I haven't even heard
Screamers?
No.
Oh, I know what I did not like A Scanner Darkly at all. I did not like
that.
Oh,
you didn't like
that?
Rotoscoping.
No, I did not.
I wouldn't say I'd watch it on the regular, but I
would have liked
it
for half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I thought it just got so distracting and the gimmick wore off for me.
So usually with a gimmick like that, you can imagine that they could have just made a movie.
Yeah,
and without the gimmick, and you would have liked it more.
Yeah,
would you say that's the case?
I would say that the technique they used in there is so thin, in that it's not like okay, so it's somewhere between live action and actual animation, and actual handcrafted animation would have maybe been more interesting to me because this other thing just is like a Photoshop filter. It's just like it's on top of the film, and it didn't do anything for me. After a while, like at first it was kind of, ooh, what am I seeing here? And then later you're like, oh, this is like that aha video. Like they're just drawing on top of film.
As an artist yourself, could you imagine that it would have been more compelling if you had sat down and drawn characters that didn't look like
I think the story was too thin. I really do.
I don't mind the story. You're right that it's obscure and obtuse and it's, you know, it's one of his weirder, like drug induced weird ones, but. All of that aside, like if you're going to just speaking from the visual aesthetic and just the feel of it, I would have preferred this be like done by some really smart anime house or somewhere that's just good at good adult animated stuff. And that would have been more interesting to me than just Robert Downey Jr. with a filter on him because that's really all it was.
But we got to say, really, I mean, you would have never seen Scanner Darkly if he hadn't used that technique. I mean, sure, we won't go back and watch it again, but. Getting us there the first time. Hey, the trick worked, didn't it?
And I'm asking if they had looked like The Simpsons. Like, if Scott Johnson had drawn a fat dude instead of Keanu
Reeves. I would have been into that.
Yeah.
And keep it just as dark as it is? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, hell yeah. That'd be all right. Speaking of which, by the way, if you want to see, I don't know how many of us have seen this, but if you want to see the Keanu Reeves movie to see, we watched John Wick last night, and I didn't see it.
A couple weeks ago myself.
That's good.
Unfreaking believable. That is an awesome movie, and if they don't make four more of them, I'm going to be sorely disappointed.
There's at least part two coming out. They've already got that one.
They need to do that in Tootsuite because it's awesome. Oh my gosh, it's just such a great pure action movie, over the top, violent, stylistic as hell. It reminds me of like, I don't know, when Hong Kong came into the 90s and said, "Hey, look what we're doing." I got that kind of vibe off of it, although it's not like kung fu-y or anything like that. It's mostly gunplay, but man, totally worth your freaking 2 hours, man.
I like that world. I like that world they've established.
Yep.
It's fun.
Love it.
I've only seen the trailer, and it looks so much like a trope in a trope. Like
it totally is.
Oh, it's tropey as shit. Like it's super tropey, but it's this one of those moments, Randy, where they're hugging that trope so hard they're going to get married later. Like they
here's the description for those of you who haven't read this before. An ex-hitman comes out of retirement to track down the gangsters that took everything from him.
Yeah, no, it sounds real dumb. You're not wrong about how, I mean, but that, actually, think about all these things that Fletcher reads. They all sound dumb. They're all dumb.
Well, yeah, we want them to.
Yeah, they can't say all they want to say in three sentences. However, if you like a pure action movie that is just all action for action's sake, and the I think the plot points were very affecting, like the reason he's getting revenge could have been silly in the wrong hands. It's not in this. I don't know. I don't know what it is. There's something special going on. There's some good juice in that movie. It's totally worth seeing. It really is. It's fan-freaking-tastic. And I loved all the supporting parts. I loved that. Brian, you know what I'm talking about, but the Continental and all that, like that stuff was so cool.
That was brilliant. I loved all that stuff. It was very, yes, it is over the top tropey, but it's a lot of fun in a world you can just step into and just.
So, and if you already hate Theon Greyjoy from Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Is he a bad guy in this one too?
Oh my gosh.
You're gonna hate him so bad.
So you're saying everything I said about the Thomas Jane Punisher movie with John Travolta?
Yeah.
Like whenever it came out 15 years ago.
Sure.
That movie, I just thought, okay, I love this. It's bad, but I love it. I want there to be five more of these. Mm-hmm. And then everybody else was like, nope, never doing that again.
Well, John Wick, on the other hand, is one of the best reviewed movies of last year. So you won't have any trouble with that in terms of reception. Like critics loved it. Viewers loved it.
It's not a thing at the movies.
Say what?
Because it's on DVD now.
It's on DVD now.
It was at the movies.
At the time. I don't remember.
Oh, well, yeah. Movie.
Well, it was there.
Oh, I do. I remember I wanted to go see it really bad.
It didn't get a lot of attention. There was other things out at the same time. I think there were
Interstellar.
Yeah.
John Wick, currently enjoying. I mean 83% on Rotten Tomatoes is pretty freaking good.
That's a hard sell, John Wick. I mean, that's a hard sell.
It's kind of along the same lines as Jack Reacher. I mean, that's the thing when I saw the previews for this, that was the thing I was comparing it to. It's like, all right, just, you know, pissed off guy going through and taking out bad guys and what's going to be different about this?
Here's how I'll classify it. It is, if you like revenge movies,
mm-hmm.
It's probably in my top three revenge movies now.
Well, I've added it to the top of my Netflix DVD queue.
Yeah, it's great.
You should totally do it. You can also grab it from the red box.
You can grab it from there.
I could grab it from there.
You can grab it from there.
I know you mentioned Alfie Allen. Did you mention Adrienne Palicki?
No, but she's in it. She's great. Yeah. She's great. Although
Bridget Moynihan.
You're not meant to like her much.
John Leguizamo. Willem Dafoe.
Yeah. It's
Willem Dafoe is a great.
It's got Al Swearengen from freaking Deadwood's in there.
I don't know that guy.
You should. You watch that movie. You'd know the actor. He's awesome.
I'm sure I would. Yeah.
Can't think of his name all of a sudden. Anyway, it's so good. All right, I know this isn't.
Can we just real quickly? Can you think of any other films that you just absolutely love where the name of the movie is the titular character?
Yeah, there's got to be Indiana Jones and the whatever of whatever.
Mad Max.
No. Right. Just the name.
Okay. Just the name.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you bet that new one? The new indie movie when they get Chris.
Think it's just going to be called Indiana Jones?
I wonder. I'm not saying for sure because I don't know if I'm going to make that bet.
For this topic, I was specifically going to say I really like Stallone's Rocky Balboa and John Rambo movies. I love it that they just named those names.
Just the fact that they use those, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to think here. Think of another one.
Johnny Mnemonic.
Oh, there's one.
So many.
So many. Name your favorite. I mean, like,
oh, Jerry Maguire.
Hey, Brian, I think that John Wick's good enough that Johnny Mnemonic will be wiped from your memory ever.
Yeah, I hope so. It would have to be something. Really? Yeah. No, Jerry Maguire is a good one. I had to scroll through a list of these to find some that
we saw Hudson Hawk on FilmSack.
Oh yeah, Hudson Hawk.
Wow, that was way that back.
Was his name really Hudson? I didn't think. I guess it was, wasn't it?
I don't know. I don't remember.
His character's name was that. Something that's about what he went by. People called him.
There was a slurping butt comment in there. That's all I remember.
Slurp my butt.
That's all I remember.
Donnie Brasco.
You
didn't watch
that
on here, did we?
No. Oh, you mean of ones we've watched on here?
Oh, no.
Just in general.
I was just going down a rabbit hole.
How about a movie called Danny Trejo? I know there isn't one, but I'd be
there needs to be a movie called Danny Trejo.
Machete is named. I mean, the character's name is Machete, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good one. And you already mentioned the Tom Cruise one. The what was that called?
McGuire?
No, the other
no,
one.
No, Reacher Jack.
Jack
Reacher. Jack Reacher, yeah.
Yeah, which was Jack not Reacher. Good. Hey, you know what John Wick is? The opposite of Jack Reacher.
Really? Okay. Yeah,
it wants to be that. They kind of want to be each other, but Jack Reacher doesn't even come close. He doesn't reach the heights of...
You know, Jack Reacher was okay.
No, it wasn't.
It's not John Wick by any means, but it was okay.
It's barely a movie. It sucked.
But it had my man in it.
RoboCop.
Not Tom Cruise.
That's the name of a guy.
Arnold
RoboCop.
Schwarzenegger has made a couple of movies.
Wally.
You know, now that you mention it, there's tons of them.
Yeah.
And you could go forever, but
almost every Disney movie, Mulan, Bambi. Yeah. You know,
right? Exactly. Titular characters are Dumbo. More for kids than anything.
Yeah, that's true. I kind of like it though. It's a fun simplification. You don't always have to give me some poetry in your name. Sometimes it can just be the name of the dude.
Well, it makes sense because it's that person's story.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, that's what it's all about.
Speaking of which, Total Recall was the name of this movie.
I forgot what we were talking about.
Yeah, remember that one? Which is funny because usually we go off topic when it's a movie we really hated, but I can't be alone here. I thought this was just so great to see again. I just had a blast. It holds up.
And something I'd forgotten, seeing it again, and I was reminded about this. Are we supposed to, I mean, obviously we're supposed to question whether or not the whole thing is a dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But there's a couple things like when he's sitting down in the chair and the guy says, he's putting the chip in for what Schwarzenegger's memories are going to be. And he says, Blue Sky on Mars. This is a good one.
Right,
you know,
are
we supposed to think, all right, go ahead.
That's the big
me.
Question of the film.
There's no way. I have an answer to this, but go ahead.
It has been from the beginning. It for some reason doesn't go back into the book very much.
Mm-hmm.
But the big question of the film has always been when he sits down in that chair in order to have something implanted into his brain.
Right.
And he picks out what he wants, or he's kind of forced what he wants. Everything that's described is the rest of the movie.
Right. Right.
And there's never a tearing down of a veil, so you're not allowed to say, "Oh, the rest of the movie is just a story that's being implanted into his brain." Because if that were the case, the movie would have had to have broken the veil at the end, at the very least.
Well,
he would have had to wake up in the chair.
Here's the theory why I don't think the whole thing was a dream. I disagree with all the people who say it was all a dream because here's why, or all a memory or whatever the hell. It's because. If it is, it's a huge cheat because all of this, there's a ton of story being told throughout the movie that has nothing to do with Schwarzenegger's perspective or his point of view.
Right. All the stuff on Mars that's happening outside of what he's doing.
All the Ronnie Cox moments, all the times where people are, the AC's off and everyone lays down in the town and all this stuff. Like all of these things aren't from his point of view and from his perspective. So he has no view on any of it. And yet we're being told this part of the story.
But hold on a second. We're talking about your reality, Scott. Like right now, the interior of your favorite car outside is looking a certain way. And you can imagine what it looks like. And so it's a part of your reality.
Then it's a cheat.
You don't need to go see it.
I know what you're saying, but if that's the case, it's a cheat.
It's a cheat, but I think it's a clever cheat that, all right, so he picks out, you know, the sleazy demure woman happens to be Melina. Is that because it's forced?
Right.
Forced choice for him?
Maybe.
Or is it because they're implanting him with this super spy secret agent storyline where he fights the bad guys, gets the girl who happens to be the girl he describes, creates Blue Sky on Mars, just like the chip said, and... Maybe he doesn't come out of it. You know, maybe right after the credits end, he wakes up and is like, "Oh, that was great."
I think the veil is literally lifted at the end of the movie when we fade to white, because we fade to white, we don't fade to black. I think he's waking up.
I didn't even notice we fade to white, really.
They do fade to white, but I don't know how that says anything other than lots of movies fade to white. So, I guess what I'm saying is if you're going to have all of this, the exterior or the interior of my car, you're right. I can imagine what it's like in there right now.
Right, and that's the thing.
But I can't imagine what Ronnie Cox is saying specifically to freaking Michael Ironsides in his office before they go do another thing.
But you don't know exactly what they're saying, but you can imagine that they're having a discussion. And you can imagine what they're saying insofar as it relates to you. You see what I'm saying?
Well, like, and if, they're our, gonna, if they're going to implant a story into your head, they could certainly implant what the bad guys are doing, how they're plotting against you without you being in the room with the bad guys.
No, you're right.
To further your story.
It's the cheat. And that part I see as a cheat. You're not totally wrong. You're absolutely right. I just feel like it's a cheat if that's what they're saying.
It'll just make you disappointed in the movie, Scott. That's why you can't admit it.
Well, hold on. I made lists of things that demonstrate one side and the other of this argument. Okay. And as far as I'm concerned, there's a number one argument for and a number one argument against. Mm-hmm. The number one argument for is between the beginning of the movie and when he sits in the chair, there's some hints, but there's never a complete wink to the idea that that is his reality. Okay.
Okay.
Like you see Sharon Stone's character, you see his buddy working the jackhammer. Right.
Oh my God! They're all working the jackhammer in the future. By the way, everybody does it.
Like about 50 guys people. In the background, right. Like all jackhammering that. Yeah.
The future of labor is safe.
We don't
everybody.
Have a Johnny Cab.
Johnny Hammer.
Johnny Jack.
Johnny Hammer, dude.
So okay, they never give you an idea at the beginning of the film that those people are all double agents.
Yeah.
And that says something, I think. It says
as far as like the look at the camera, like. Oh, he may be onto something, right? When he's talking about going to recall.
Never happens. Never happens. When later on, when, and again, this is in favor of it being a dream. Later on, when we're in the dream sequence, Sharon Stone is a totally different person. And they could have, given you a little bit of that at the beginning. So there's a pretty strong case for that is his reality. That is reality. And everything else is a dream based on how it's portrayed the first 15 minutes.
Well, reinforce that same lie when he's got the head of Total Recall there and he starts to sweat and Arnold doesn't bite and shoots him in the head and then the fourth wall breaks again and realizes, oh, no, this isn't a dream? Is that just reinforcing the actual dream by saying, here's a scenario where you think it's a dream and now it
falls
apart?
That's what I was going to get to.
Okay.
The best reason why it's not a dream, the best reason, is that there's no way a company that came up with an awesome vacation where you are a secret agent and you save Mars, et cetera, would insert themselves into that complicated story.
In a negative light, too. Like,
no way.
We will not get any repeat business because people will have these memories that we really tried to screw them.
Yeah.
There's no way. And if you think about it, all of his grief is from that company, Total Recall. There's no grief in the movie if not for that company.
Yeah.
I've always landed on the side that it's likely a dream only because of the whole, oh, blue sky on Mars. That's a good one. Like the fact that the guy is describing, exactly what's going to be happening in the movie.
Yeah, there's a lot of foreshadowing throughout the
whole movie. Foreshadowing, I'd say it's a good point. It's a hint. It seems like a hint either way. It's like, either it's this is part of his thing, or, oh, that's funny, but then, whoa, look at the irony, because Arnold actually created a blue sky on Mars somehow. I don't know.
By the way, with a really cool, what I would call maybe one of my favorite, it don't work like that, but still, it really, really looked cool, kind of like Melting Faces in Indiana Jones, we had this whole oxygenation of the planet, like really fast. It's totally unrealistic.
All it takes was freaking the Martian Manhunter to put his hand on the ball or whatever.
Right, exactly.
And the whole thing would go.
I'm glad that nobody before Arnold Schwarzenegger just tried it. Like, well, let me see if my hand just fits there. First off,
maybe.
Are we in the same?
It's ludicrous that like it just blows my mind. That's where all the air was.
Right. It was all the oxygen and water was down trapped in this thing, and the alien thing had to touch it to make it go. It's real dumb.
There's this thing in physics called the ideal gas law, and so you can't actually hide a tremendous amount of air and gases inside a planet.
I've tried.
Well, it was ice.
I've had to fart in a public place before, and I know sometimes the pressure's too much, and you can't hide it. It's part of the, what did you call it? The golden what? What did you call
my
it?
My sphincter's buckling. I can't hold it
any longer. Okay, here, listen, if you see Inception, we've all seen Inception. Great movie. Love it. One of my favorites. The top at the end of that, spinning, is to ask you the same question at the end of the movie.
Right.
Was this real or was this not real?
But the movie is asking the question in Inception.
Who's asking it here, though?
They're not. The movie doesn't.
Well, he does because Arnold says, "Wouldn't it be, I just had a scary thought. What if this was a whole dream?"
Exactly.
And then they fade out after that because she says, "Well, I don't care. Kiss me because what a great dream it is if you can make out with me now." And then it fades out. They ask the question. In fact, they almost literally ask the question where
Schwarzenegger sets down and he spins a top. I mean, it's the same thing.
It kind of is the same because the top is asking it. In this case, Arnold's asking it. And I think the same kind of brain fry is supposed to be happening where I'm supposed to never quite know.
Right.
And it's not as elegant. Maybe it's not as, I don't know, on the nose as the dream as Inception was, which was all about dreams and dreams. And it's even a bigger question because literally you're playing with dreams. But in this one, it's just a clumsier version of the same question. And I it's like 50-50 when I went and looked at forums and stuff. 50% of people think, it's totally not a dream. 50% of people do. And it reminded me what filmmakers can do to F with our heads. It's just a stupid movie, you know? It's not even like it's barely based on the source material. Yet look at them yanking us around like this. It's insane to me. I love that. I love that in movies.
By the way, did any of you pick up on where this movie was filmed?
Toronto.
On Mars.
No. Well, okay. With the exception of a few shots in the Valley of Fire in Nevada, the entire film was made in Mexico.
Oh, right. The Mexican subways were decorated.
Subways. Everybody knows about the Mexican subways.
They basically carved up a whole bunch of extra holes for the Mexican subways. And
well, I think they just I think that's how that place looks. Like it's got those. Right. Got
no,
those,
I mean, like during the process of filming, they use those big old tunnel cutters. And
it's like, hey, listen, if you let us film here. If we let you film here, you would make us new tunnels, yes? And they said, yeah,
they're
sure.
They're French, sure.
Yeah, that's they're French.
Why not?
So
what
when
are
they
doing in Mexico?
So what I was reading was it like when you go down the like that was supposed to be like, you know, terrible city streets of the underground mutant population was really just actual subway tunnel corridors and things between subway entries and exits. And
those
and
were real Mexicans down there with three boobs and, you know, vagina faces and all that stuff.
Yeah, they were real. The three boob lady, boy, she is sure iconic.
I thought she was only once, but she was actually like several times.
They used
every
her
time
a lot.
She would show up.
Same with the little person prostitute.
Yeah.
Yes.
They
yes,
used
yes.
her. They got their mileage out of like, you know, anytime they could use her, even doing like the whole gun porn scene of right. like
as long
having
as we have the little person here, bring her on out.
Yep. Little
trot
person
on out.
Prostitute firing an automatic weapon is right. such gun porn.
She tore it, and she didn't she leap on a dude with a knife and knifed him real good.
Yeah, she stabbed. She stabbed the Ironside's henchman, yeah. or like his main dude.
Yeah, she's an
his
Ewok
main
too.
Nerdy blonde dude.
She's an Ewok from Jedi, according to her credits. She was one of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is kind of cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. She actually has been in a lot of cult things, movies, and stuff.
Was she in Willow? I hate asking that question.
I think she
every
was.
Single time there's a little person in the movie.
You
no,
think
no, she
all little people were in Willow.
Let's see.
No,
Willow.
She's been in a lot of movies, and I think she was in Willow.
People. Let's see. I'm looking real quick. Can we see her if she's in this?
What's her name? First off,
yeah,
little person one.
Little yeah, no, she used her name. She's well known, I guess. Like she's got kind of a following. I can't find her now though. She's
kind of far down the list. I hate that.
She's on the short list. Hold on. Let's see.
Her not nice.
That wasn't nice at all. Here it is. Debbie Lee Carrington.
There we go.
Thumbelina.
She's in Titanic, Men in Black, Return of the Jedi.
What was she in? I don't remember her in Titanic at all. She was holding.
I don't know. Was
she holding somebody up? What was it?
She's in like tons of like ER, The Lone Gunman TV series, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Drew Carey Show. She's busy. She's got work.
Not in Willow. And we've seen her in other movies on FilmSack. She was in Howard the Duck.
Oh my gosh. Great. She was probably Howard. Who knew?
She might have been. Or she might have been the Howard. The,
no,
the
no.
Duck,
I think
the
she was a
naked duck in in the bathtub.
Yeah. She could have been, dude. Harry and the Hendersons. We've seen that. She was Little Bigfoot in that. What? Who was Little Bigfoot?
Oh, yeah, when they come out with the family comes out at the end.
Oh, they had the whole Bigfoot family, right.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. She was Valerie Vomit in the Garbage Pail Kids movie.
Oh, God.
There was a Garbage Pail
lately?
Kids movie?
Yeah, there
oh,
was.
Oh, God, I love that movie.
87.
It's horrible.
We should see that.
Oh. Married
Hold on.
With
I'm children.
Putting it on our must-watch list
still
if it's ever streaming.
She was in,
In Living Color. Man, Batman Returns. She was Emperor Penguin.
So she was one of the other penguins.
Oh, she was an emperor penguin. Right?
Oh,
emperor.
Not your name is Emperor Penguin.
It's weird. I can't find I mean, it says that she's in Titanic, but I cannot find it in her. So she wasn't acting in Titanic. She was doing something else.
Well,
doing stunts, maybe.
Oh, who is she?
She's probably like a falling kid or something. Yep, there it is.
Standing for the naked drawing. I don't know.
Right. Well, if there were children, maybe a child that fell into the water or something. And
she's not done anything since 2012. And I don't know why. She's alive, but she must have just said, I'm good.
She's done a lot of stunts, actually. A lot of stunt double stuff. House of Cards.
Different House of Cards.
Dumb and Dumber, Stuart Saves His Family, Spawn, Titanic, Legend of the Mummy, Bride of Chucky. A lot of Van Helsing. A lot of stunt work.
Yeah, she's a real sweetheart. I don't know what I'm saying. Also, forgot how much I liked it. I thought it was stop motion. It wasn't. It was totally CGI, and it was kind of ahead of its time. But that the scanner stuff at the TSA line, that was great.
That was really good. I mean, that was cool too.
So cool, man. I thought that looked rad. Also, I don't know if you guys knew this. Arnold Schwarzenegger was supposed to play RoboCop in 87. They had problems with the costume. They could never get it to work right.
Couldn't fit on it.
Couldn't fit, basically. And he says he loved it so much he wanted to work with Verhoeven, and he and Verhoeven heard about Total Recall, decided to work on that together. So that's the word, anyway. Whether that
I'm
was
glad. I don't think RoboCop would have been the right fit.
You don't think so?
No. Peter Weller was such... I mean, you know, the... You can't even imagine doing the
upper burpee.
Right, he's already played a robot in T2, so I mean,
I love how that sounds, man. That's awesome. Upper. I mean, I know that's how it sounds like when he does it. That's totally it. Oh, that's really funny.
To write out. I think that's probably how it was written in the script. Was
really funny. The original cut was given an X rating by the MPAA. This is before NA or MA-17, I believe. Anyway, the violence
Three
was
boobs,
trimmed.
That's an X.
Violence trimmed and some different camera angles used, and some of the more overtop scenes were kind of altered a little bit, and they got R. So it was going to be X. It got R.
The camera angle, like the one underneath the Arnold Schwarzenegger sack, is that... What's next for a camera angle? What is that?
That was weird. Hey, where, by the way, is Verhoeven now? What's he doing? Let's see.
Oh.
Is he making anything right now? Like
anything in post-production?
He did something called Tricked in 2012, Black Book in 2006. Hollow Man's the last one you remember, probably.
He's in the process of filming... Hollow Man with Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
The Invisible Man one? Yeah. We do need to watch that. His current thing stars... Isabel Huppert, and it's called Elle. When Michelle, the CEO of a gaming software company, is attacked in her home by an unknown assailant, she refuses to let it alter her precisely ordered life.
Oh, the net for the 2015.
Keep going, Brian. It gets better. Okay.
She manages crises involving her 75-year-old sex kitten mother, her imprisoned mass murderer father, her spoiled and immature son, her ex-husband, and her lover, all with the same icy equanimity. Wow.
This is the approach she brings to the situation. She appears that her assailant is not finished with her as the mysterious stalker hovers over the shadows of her life, taunting her. Michelle coolly stalks him back. What emerges between Michelle and her stalker is a kind of game, that soon spirals out of control.
Is it possible for us to film second movie before it's released?
I think we just did.
Can we get a screener, Paul?
Who's Isabel Huppert? Who the hell's that?
She's the only recognizable name in this, and it's only from...
She's a French actress.
She's
kind of old. I mean, you wouldn't think the film, with that description, stars someone who's in their 60s,
Here's what's great. Frequently asked questions about this movie. Here's the answer. Here's the number one entry. This fact is empty. Add the first question. Yeah, I don't know.
Is this for real?
Is this for real? I cannot believe this is being made. This comes out this year, and it sounds direct-to-DVD to me.
I think it's possible that it might actually be in French.
Well, one of my favorite actors ever was in season 5 of Justified. I just finished that, so I'm thinking about him. He's the hairy dude on the train. He was barely there. His name is...
The hairy dude on the train in this?
Yeah. In Justified, he played Hot Rod.
Oh, the big shaggy dude. Yeah, right.
Played Hot Rod in season 4 and 5. He's the major pot dealer from like wherever he was from in that show. In this movie, he was barely in it, but I like that guy a lot. He's that nasty red beard, always plays some kind of biker.
He's got to be on Sons of Anarchy. Or am I just typecasting?
If he's not, he should be, and he's not. That's crazy.
He's the inspiration for Sons of Anarchy.
He should be everyone on that show. Exactly. That's crazy to me. Anyway,
Mickey Jones is the guy's name.
Mickey Jones played Rodney Hot Rod Dunham on Justified, and he's fantastic in it.
Right. Anyway. Tin Cup, Vacation, Sling Blade.
Yeah, that guy's great.
Bunch of people like that in this movie. Mark Alimo is in this movie with like two lines.
Fill us in. Who's that?
So he played a lot of different Cardassians on Star Trek shows. Mm-hmm. And specifically, the one you remember is Gul Dukat on Deep Space Nine.
Oh, yeah.
He's got this scarred up face. So he always plays, you know, the scarred up face bad guy on Walker, Texas Ranger and that kind of thing. And he's just one of the gunmen, one of the henchmen. And he's got a couple lines in this movie. And it's like, every time you see someone with a couple lines in this movie, they actually had a career. They're not just one and done.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
Dukat's his name?
He's the biggest Cardassian in all of DS9.
Yeah. Well, he was the head of the, right.
Yeah, look at him. Ooh, yeah. I'm looking at some Cardassian images of him, and he doesn't look like he should be married to Kanye West at all. Oh, I've confused them again, haven't I?
Wrong. Keeping up with the Kardashians.
There you go. All right. What else? There's a trope here. I got one. Black comedy relief guy. I know we talked about him a little bit before, but I felt like every movie in 1990 had this guy in it, and they were all like Chris Tucker.
And also the trope of
the ultimate.
Yeah. It's also the trope of there's only one black guy in the whole movie.
Yeah, that's true.
How did they get this whole movie cast and there's one black guy?
Well, hold on, let me think. Was he
they
really?
They were all on Saturn.
Yeah.
This is 1990. There was only like two black people in all of Friends. Yeah. So, I mean.
That's true.
This was.
Oh, whoa! Wait a minute, Friends. I can't, hold on. Black
he's,
people
he's
in
right.
Friends.
There's barely any black people in Friends.
Like, yeah. Right. Friends could have had
Ross dated two, and then there was the Good Morning guy next door.
Oh, right, Aisha Tyler.
The guy who sings in the bathroom.
Mm. Yep.
Good morning.
Wow, Brian,
hold on. There was one Friends. Other. There's one of the waitresses, at least in season two, because I just was seeing some of that.
But the point has to stand. Like. Friends is so white.
Oh, it's white.
That when they cast a recurring character who owns the coffee shop, they made him an albino.
Yeah, he's as white. You can't get whiter than that guy. You know what? I got to make an admission here. I was going to wait for TMS, but I'll do it here too. I kind of am known for not liking Friends very much. Yeah. It annoyed me when it was on new, and so I assumed that's how I'd still feel about it. So I've been watching a bunch of it with Kim, kind of nonchalantly at first, and more attentive now that we're in like season three or something. I kind of like Friends.
It's not bad.
Okay. No way, really?
Yeah, I think I'm making it.
What's next? How I Met Your Mother?
And no, I still don't like that. I watched most of that and didn't like most of it. I hated that show. I don't know why I don't like that one, but I think I do like Friends. Wow. I don't know what's happening there. So I'm willing to admit it when I've come around on something. It's not as bad as I thought it was.
I think
that's funny because I've watched a couple and I was like, wow, yeah, this totally doesn't hold up. Mm. How did I ever love this
especially
show?
Especially if first and second season stuff.
Yeah, you get to three and four, I think it vastly improves.
I want to ask Scott, because I think the best thing you can say about Friends is that the actors who are on screen, the people who are writing the show, producing the show, directing the show, everybody involved really cared and enjoyed making that show.
That is the vibe.
Isn't that coming through for you?
That vibe, and maybe that's why it's winning me over, because I am feeling that there's a feeling. Also, you know, behind the scenes, this was the season where they did collective bargaining. Like, they made a decision as a troop of actors and said, look, we're getting yanked around. They want to give more money to Aniston and whoever else because they think they're the breakout stars, which they were. But they were like, we're in this together. Let's go in and renegotiate our contracts. Everyone will get paid the same. And they did. And the three people ended up losing $20,000 per episode to do that and did it willingly. Like, that kind of stuff is coming through the show, I think. There's a weird camaraderie that doesn't feel fake forced or you know, only on set are these people getting along. It felt like that was all real. And
there's a lot of things you can say about Friends that's negative. Like, you can tear that show down.
Sure.
But when you ask around people who've seen many episodes, like, who are your favorite Friends? Which two of them would you want to sit and have lunch with if you could, like, that sort of thing? You always get different answers. Everybody's got different answers. And that says to me that the people making the show really loved all the characters evenly. Yeah. And really care.
They wanted a real ensemble show that actually explored every character equally. And that does seem to be happening. Here's the other thing that I like about that show. And it's because something Ralph told me. So Roger White, a.k.a. Ralph, said to me the other day, everything Chandler ever says on that show ever is a tweet. And he's so right about it.
I tweeted that like years ago.
It's basically a tweet. It's just everything he says. Oh, Chandler will have a reaction. You could put that in 140 characters or less. It'd be kind of funny and it would be obnoxious and you'd put it online.
Could this coffee be any sweeter?
Yes.
There's actually a whole episode about that later.
Is there really?
You're going to get to like in season 8 or 9.
Well, not about
Twitter,
though.
There's a whole episode where Chandler loses his mind because Monica says offhand that she has a coworker who's funnier than him.
Oh, love it. Nice. Yeah. All right, what else? I want red money, I wrote down.
Yeah, you want Monopoly money?
Yeah, totally. I just want my money to be red. I think that's cool. I like the idea that on Mars you're horking around with red money because you're on Mars.
I think it's that just so much money in the future has been used in drug deals that have gone south that it's all just been tinted red.
It's all from the dye exploding or actual blood.
The blood,
I get it. Right. You know what else I would love?
What?
If I'm going to do that, I'm also going to leave myself a love note to where to find sleazy action if I lose my memory. So I'm going to put that in a little box somewhere. So later on when I find it, I can go, hey, Brian, looking for a good time? Go find Melina.
Yeah, find Melina.
The Light District, buddy.
She'll have stuff to tell you.
I do like his method of like figuring out that it's his own handwriting by.
Oh, yeah.
You're by grabbing a Sharpie and writing it on there. Like
I write M is funny. Listen to him.
I like that the movie really is a violent Truman show. That's true. Really kind of what it is.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, like in the end, not in the end, I guess a lot earlier, assuming you don't fall for the whole thing was a dream theory, it's very much Truman show because it's him breaking out and facing it. And when those guys, when that dude was there trying to convince him that he had just plugged into his dream and was trying to get him out and to eat the red pill, that just seemed like Ed Harris trying to, one last ditch effort to get the wife to convince Truman that he should calm down and go talk to his friend. Yeah. Like it's very, I was getting that vibe the entire time, which is weird because I've seen the movie 1,000 times and I never thought of that before, but
this movie's God, could the Matrix have stolen any more stuff from this movie? I mean,
really?
Name something.
Well, the red pill.
That's the point of the red pill. The red pill is an homage to this. Uh-huh. That's the reason they chose it. But this is it. This is the only thing before the Matrix. With the red pill.
That's true.
Wow, would Schwarzenegger's past self be his own Morpheus?
Whoa. Right, it really would. Because look, okay, the guy, okay, whoa. First of all, okay, he's suddenly in trouble and he gets the trope phone call from somebody who's there to help him. I mean, there's if you search up Total Recall and Matrix, you'll see where Matrix was accused of stealing from the 1990 Total Recall. Mm-hmm. And then the 2012 Total Recall is accused of stealing from The Matrix. So there's this weaving in and out.
This whole thing is a dream.
Yeah. That's awesome, dude. Who would have
known? That's awesome. I'm eating a Slim Jim.
I really never thought about The Matrix while watching this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It doesn't feel like a close relationship.
Well, there's not a lot of good stylistic sort of kung fu slow-mo either. I mean,
I get the whole thing where there's an underclass living down below
there's
everything.
Auto programming, kind of mind manipulation. There's a lot of intersecting sci-fi going on.
Gun play that makes no sense. Oh my gosh, who takes a gun into a freaking habitat on Mars?
Right.
Nobody,
with
man.
Thin glass, so thin that you can shoot a hole through it. What's wrong with you people?
Well, here's how thin it is.
Apparently little Mars. Birds that fly into the glass, not realizing it's not there.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, hello, dear listener. Can I take a minute and talk to you about our friends at audible.com. At audiblepodcast.com/filmsack, you can get a free audiobook today. Audiobooks from a huge selection of over 150,000 titles. Things like The Synchronicity War, Part 1. I love me some sci-fi. This is written by Dietmar Weir. Can't say that guy's name. Narrated by Luke Daniels. Sounds a bit like this.
Commander Victor Shiloh noticed that the usual bridge chatter had died down to almost nothing as the squadron emerged from jump space. Everyone knew the stakes. One of their own was missing, and they were here to find her.
That's right. I love science fiction. I love stories that are set in a universe like this one. It's great if you like games like Eve Online or Homeworld. That's the kind of space this thing sets up as a world. And it's awesome. Go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. Get that book or any book of your choice for absolutely free. That's audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. And just check it out. I love these guys. So will you. Again, that URL is audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. All right, now back on with the show. All right, here is, let's do some clips. I got a bunch of these.
Oh, sweet.
And they're all very good, I think. This movie's full of great stuff. So we'll play some of it. Here's Arnold getting a little hot and heavy with his wife.
Come on, baby. You know you're the girl of my dreams.
Come on, baby.
That is the least sexy.
Says sexy you.
I agree.
I know I've got a boner from the dream I was just having, but... Let's put it to good use.
Is it because it's 25 years old and that used to be okay? Yeah. It makes my skin crawl.
I didn't like the Melina reference later where she says, what have they been feeding your wiener? And he said, blondes. Oh,
right. He said blondes.
Blondes. That is a great line, though.
Feeding it. Ugh. All right.
This was definitely a blonde versus brunette movie.
Big time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Loved it. I remember then thinking that. Thinking, oh, yeah, it's always the blondes versus the brunettes. It's the eternal battle. It's the eternal war. You can't get away from it. Here is a something about giving it a chance.
Let's give it a chance, okay?
Lori, don't you understand? I feel like I was meant for something more than this. I want to do something with my life. I want to be somebody.
You are somebody. You're the man I love.
Bye.
Bye. See ya.
Second best argument that the rest of it is a dream.
Yeah.
It makes no freaking sense. Why, given his past, not as Quaid, but as Hauser, why in the world would they set this up? Why would you take your own wife and make her this guy's wife to watch him and sleep with him? And it makes no sense.
So you're saying the thing is a dream?
I'm just saying that's the second best argument in favor of the dream.
I think it's in favor of it not being a dream because their relationship when he goes to leave seems like she's going like their work partners, like have a nice day. Mm-hmm.
Why
that kind
would
of thing.
Michael Ironside have arranged this?
I don't think he did. I think Ronnie Cox made him.
Okay, fine, but it's nonsensical.
Yeah, I agree. That was dumb.
You take Quaid and, I don't know, you put him in suspended animation or you put him in jail. Who cares? He won't know.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Let's give him the chance to remember. Let's let him run around free and maybe have something that triggers his memory.
Yeah, and especially he's a giant, most in-shape human being on this planet. Let's just let him be on his own.
So I previously said I don't think it's a dream because why would Recall insert themselves in as such a screw-up? I'm now saying I also think it is a dream because I don't think Recall's bad guy would have gone this far for nothing.
What choice did
he have? He doesn't manage anything. His woman is stronger than him. His boss is stronger than everybody. He is totally emasculated.
Yeah.
You think the rest of it's a dream?
I think the rest of us a dream.
I don't think
but
so.
But I think this argues the other way.
I don't think any of it's a dream. It's too cheaty. I still argue in favor for he just... The comment at the end is meant. I know that they're just screwing with us either way, but I don't think it's supposed to be a dream. And Verhoeven's like tight-lipped about all. He won't say a word.
And it's not something out of the original book, right? This
not
is something
really.
That was added to the movie. Because like, I don't remember it being at all even a question in the
Philip K. Dick
the remake, the 2012 remake.
He's too busy going. Listen, I will not tell you how this works out. I am too busy making the Basic Instinct and the Showgirls.
My true love.
I'm glad we're never going to watch Showgirls for film sack.
Why are we saying we're never going to do that?
Because that movie is the worst thing ever. It's awful.
And your point is what?
I hate it.
We watched Retrograde.
Yes, we watched Retrograde, but we didn't know ahead of time.
We were young then. We didn't know.
Yeah, we didn't.
I don't want to put Scott through that much bad R-rated porn.
I don't even care about the. I don't care about the nudity. Porn. I don't care about the nudity. I care that that movie just reeks of suckage. It's
I didn't
not
say
good.
Nudity. I said porn because it is, but it's bad. It's not. It tries to be sexy and it misses so hard.
Yeah,
it's
funny.
It's awful. It's not a good
so
movie.
So what about the Demi Moore one? What about Striptease?
Oh, I'd Burt see Reynolds. That because Burt Reynolds is covered in Vaseline and wears boots.
And that
it's not fair to compare any movie to Showgirls.
I agree. It sucks. It's awful.
To quote David Schmader, Showgirls is a film where at every time, in every scene, every person who is at work is making the worst decision possible.
Yeah, it sucks. That movie's not, it's just not a good movie. Like, I'll bet you 50 Shades of Grey is a better mainstream quote-unquote porn movie than Showgirls ever wanted to be. I'll bet you that. I haven't seen
it. Oh, no doubt. Yeah, no doubt.
That's got to be better.
I mean, it's still bad, but no
doubt
it's better.
Not that bad. all right, where are we now? We got one here from Giving Something a Chance.
Let's give it a chance,
nope, that's
okay.
One I just played, isn't it? Never mind. How about this one? Recall.
You know, they sell those fake memories. Recall.
I hate to tell that guy, but he was not doing a good impression of the lady who said
he had not heard the commercial at all, apparently.
Yeah, because that one's more like this one.
Do you drink?
Yeah, they made the commercial later in the production of the film, and the actor didn't know how it was going to sound.
That guy's in lots of stuff. That was his friend there at work, his Jack buddy.
Lots of stuff as the guy in the bar sitting next to you who's drinking a beer. That guy.
He's always there drinking a beer. Here's some great acting, man. Top notch stuff here. Here you go.
Bob, what's wrong?
Don't let her leave.
Bob, what's wrong?
Oh yeah, this is the trying to get another gal to go through the recall process.
Yep, it's terrible. It's not good. How about this?
See,
one?
If it was the future and they had the internet, she would have called on Skype and he would have heard boop boop boop. Boop, boop, boop. Oh, what's up? We're having a problem with Quaid. He's having a reaction. Yeah. Okay, be right in.
All right, I'll be right in there. No problem. All right, this is the movie when you think of, like we said, typical yelling Arnie. I think this is where the stereotype starts and ends, and here's him doing some of that. Who kept telling him to keep going to do that?
And that was, what, during the Sharon Stone fight, right?
Yeah.
That is self-directed, my friend.
Well, actually, that might have been him in the chair. I'm not sure.
Oh, right. Yes.
Let me play it again. There's a couple of ladies there trying to strap him down. Here is an angry acting moment. I like this one.
He has been going on and on about Mars. He has really been there.
Use your head, you dumb bitch. He's just acting out the secret agent portion of his ego trip.
I'm afraid that's not possible.
Why not?
Because we haven't implanted it yet.
Ah! Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah. I like how he drops the big old B on her. Like, yeah, they haven't worked. Like, she's a scientist working for this company. Verhoeven's good at this. He's like, take the artifice of the sales stuff away, and everyone is the biggest jerk to each other ever. And that's a great moment for that. Here's some, what? Oh, he's really been, oh, I just hate the way she says this.
He has really been there.
He's really been there.
He's really been there.
Really been there.
All right, Johnny Cab shows his weird head.
Would you please rephrase the question?
Huh? How did I get in this taxi?
The door opened. You got in.
Smart ass.
Hell of a day, isn't it?
Hell of a day. He's awesome. Johnny Cab for the win,
he's
dude.
He's really good. He's a really good part in this movie.
He's one of the best parts in the history of movies. All
we
right,
haven't even talked about Quado yet.
No. We haven't talked about Quado. Quado is so... weirdly, it's a mix of weird and gross and what cool. The hell to kind of cool.
Kind of cool and just almost the worst special effects ever.
Yeah.
Especially when
he's repeating, repeating the... I can't even remember what the words are that he repeats, but I wanted to
open
mute the sound.
Mind.
That's
open
it.
Open your eyes.
Yeah. And I wanted to mute the sound to see what it looked like that little Cabbage Patch doll was saying.
Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Totally a Cabbage Patch, like a Garbage Pail Kid in that poor
Look,
guy's
we're gonna
gut.
We're going to stick Yoda into your chest.
Yeah.
We're going to call him Quato.
What's weird is that they gave a fake head to that guy when Quato was talking. I figured he would just be out in front of a normal guy, but they actually put a fake head on that guy. They were making fake heads left and right.
I saw that.
It's like, why not?
Yeah, it's great. I love
fake
it.
Fake heads anyway.
Don't stop. All right, here's...
Did you see the old Saturday Night Live skit where everyone has a Quado?
No.
Yes.
No? What? When was this? Yeah. What era was this?
This was later 90s?
No, I'd say 2000s, because Sandberg and Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, I don't remember that at all. Well, that's a reference to pull out. Wow.
Yeah, it was Scarlett Johansson, and I'll send you the linky.
I don't see how this is a Quado, she said. All right, here's Arnie.
This doesn't feel like a quad.
Yeah, acknowledge. here's Arnie getting all pissed.
What the f*** did I do wrong?
That's great. That's great.
Just don't ask him to say too much, because right. He just doesn't know how.
How about Jurassic Arnold? I don't know why I title it this, but I'm excited.
Oh, yeah,
to find
yeah,
out.
I know why.
Here it is.
I know why.
Clever girl.
Oh, clever girl. Oh, that's
clever
right.
girl.
Right.
Clever girl, my there favorite line.
I couldn't remember.
Chicken. If we had a wrong running checklist for Film Sack, one of the boxes would say clever girl.
Yep. Here's Ronnie Cox being all pissed. So here you go.
What the f*** is going on down there? If I wanted him dead, you moron, I wouldn't have dumped him on Earth.
Yeah, dude. He's great.
Have you noticed that everybody is you moron, you bitch? Mm-hmm. Like, people can't just get mad at each other. They have to call each other names insults. All the movie.
Yeah, insults up and down. Again, it feels like a Verhoeven thing.
It's future.
Yeah, he does that. Here's a famous line.
Get your ass to Mars. Get your ass to Mars. Get your ass to Mars.
You start to hear that too many times, it starts to sound like, get your ass to Mars.
Yeah.
Get your ass to Mars.
If you accidentally read out the code, it's 10, get your ass to Mars, 20, go to 10.
Yeah, see? It's like an old basic.
That's the basic programming. Yeah, yeah. Excellent.
Do a Starfield simulation? Done. Put it on a floppy. Or a tape, I guess. All right, here's 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
So how long do you plan to stay on Mars?
2 weeks.
Have you brought any fruits or vegetables onto the planet?
2 weeks.
Excuse me?
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Love that part. Yeah,
before I settled on the opening I did, it was going to be, how long have you been planning on staying on Mars? 2 weeks. Have you brought any fruits or vegetables to Mars? 2 leeks. Is there anybody you're going to be staying with while you're here? 2 geeks.
I'm glad. Whoa, what's that? I'm hearing a thing.
But you would have needed a question to which the answer was 2 leeks.
Yeah, 2 leeks.
Right, exactly.
Yes. She reminded me of Margot Martindale.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's done stuff. She's a stage actor, right?
The lady? Actress. I don't know. Who's the lady?
Yeah. She's an imposing woman, I'll tell you that. Well. She looks like she could house a Schwarzenegger inside of her.
Yeah.
We need
to say 2 weeks a lot of times, yeah. That's Verhoeven.
Back
in
the day when I had a flip phone, she was the sound that it made when I got a text message. Every time I got a text message, she would say, get ready for a surprise.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, here's I found an important Ibbot clip here. This is what Ibbot's date said he'd have to do if she went to prom with him. So she agreed to go. This is his commitment, okay? And this is really important clip from the 80s. Here you go.
You do what you're told. That's what you do.
There you go. She nice. Sounds a lot like Ronnie Cox,
I remember
by
that,
the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has Ronnie Cox. Pretty rough. Taught her to quit smoking so much. All right. Eat your what?
Because otherwise I'll erase your ass.
Oh, I put eat. Why did I put eat, not erase? That's not good.
What's going on with the clip names today?
Yeah, that's bad. That's real bad. All right. What is he saying? What? Okay.
Damn, the man don't even know he's been in Mars tonight.
All right. What did he say?
Damn, the man don't even know if he's been to Mars or not.
Okay, let's play it one more time.
Damn, the man don't even know he's been to Mars tonight.
You got to admit, that sounds like, hey, guys, one more take, because Zippy over there did it wrong.
Mars.
Oh, you know, we've been to Mars or not.
This is the movie that stars Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah, enunciation is not at a premium.
That's a good point.
Dude is wearing all kinds of mouth prosthetics. I bet it was hard to deliver that line.
You think? Yeah. Oh, because of the teeth. Yeah. Those teeth.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those couldn't have been real.
The grill.
Yeah, his grill was pretty sweet.
Get your grill to Mars.
Yeah, he had more. I felt like that would make him a target because there's a lot of gold in their grills.
By the way, that woman.
There's
Priscilla,
gold in their mouth.
Priscilla Allen, the 2 weeks lady, passed away in 2008 in California.
Oh.
Yeah.
Her head opened up and Schwarzenegger came out. It was horrible.
Yeah, it was terrible.
But in the 1950s, she was a ballerina. At least she played one in the Gruel Guild Theater.
For 2 weeks, though. Wow. Just for 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks. Yeah. Only 2 week run.
Yeah. How long you've been, how long you're here at the theater? 2 weeks. Great. How about the three boob lady and what? Okay. I have proof of what the three boob lady sounds like when she laughs. So here's that. Oh. There you go. That's her.
It's terrible. I noticed it as well.
It's like
Chandler's
girlfriend.
I was trying to calculate in my head if I could deal with a three boob lady if she laughed like that.
Yeah. What
like,
was Chandler,
three boobs?
What was Chandler's girlfriend on Friends? What was her name?
Yeah, that was
Monica?
No.
Oh, Janice.
Janice. This is like Janice. All right.
Oh my god.
All right, what's this is great.
Bullshit.
What's bullshit, Mr. Quaid?
I just like the question.
And I love that actor guy who's in everything.
Yeah, he's in everything too. So many. Boy, Paul Verhoeven really just has like a stack of cards.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Of like every character actor. Yeah. Exactly.
Just flips through him. All right, here we got the that guy. Yep.
Well, you know he's a gnack.
Well, he's cool. I liked him. All right, this is great. It should have been earlier, but here it is now.
Shit!
I'm not familiar with that address.
That's great. Shit! I love when he swears. You know, there's another good one where he swears. Did I play that one? I did. Where he said, where is it? Where he says,
what the fuck did I do wrong?
Yeah, it's just great.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing Arnie swears just sounds wrong to me. All right, here's Quado. Quado speaks.
What do you want, Mr. Quay?
How I want to know who does the voice of Quado.
I want you to put your shirt back on.
Mr. Quay.
Could I have a washcloth?
Sorry, my host ate a big burrito. I don't feel very well.
Why does this host have to go like into a hibernation mode for Quado to come out? Because he was all like grunting and stuff.
You know, of all the movies we've done this year and last year, I feel like this may have been a really, really great film sack one. Or, Nerdtacular one.
Yeah.
And as I was watching, I was going, missed opportunity. We got to find something on the level of this, I think, for July.
Yeah, for sure.
Marshall Bell is
the guy.
Marshall Bell?
Marshall Bell. I'm going to see what else he's done.
Has he always been just jammed in some dude's gut? Or is it? I assume he's a normal man.
Yes, he was in Stand By Me. He was, amazingly enough, in Starship Troopers.
Mm.
He got lucky with the deck that day. All right, Marshall Bell. You're
that's
in.
Right.
Down the Verhoeven deck.
The Verhoeven deck. You know, that's fun. We should bring that up whenever we see a Verhoeven movie, which may not be many more.
If we only named our episodes after things that were said, I would insist that this one be called Verhoeven Has a Big Deck.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That's pretty good. Wait, Brian, what's your name? Randy.
It's not even Darren on the show.
Did we replace somebody with a Darren?
I almost said Daryl. I don't know why. Daryl Jr. I'm thinking of. Daryl Jr. Daryl Crow Jr. is who I'm thinking of. I've been watching a lot of Justified. Anyway, Brian.
Hold on a second. Marshall Bell is the guy. So the voice of Quado is also the guy who played the guy who had Quado in his belly. It's the same guy.
Yeah, because it's the actor. Right.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Why not use
I guess
him?
That's the reason why they used his head up top, the fake head, because his real head was down at the bottom doing all the action, right?
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm sure that was it.
Talk twice, yeah.
Yeah. That was Frank Oz has his hand up his butt and was moving that face around. Randy, you were saying you had an idea for, should we save it or blow it here?
I have spent a good amount of time this week trying to figure out what movie we're going to do at Nerdtacular, and I've got some great ideas that we're going to discuss privately. And
okay.
I'm excited for this
one. We won't spill the beans just yet, everybody. Hold on to your butts. All right, here's something about I thought the music sounded like Star Trek, probably because Jerry Goldsmith did the music, but here's a part that specifically sounded like a Star Trek movie. So here you go. You know what it is? Is that?
Yeah,
sure. But other than that little bit, the whole movie sounds like The Leftovers from Conan.
A little bit,
which I'm fine with.
It was fine. It wasn't great though. I mean, the only criticism I would have is he's obviously a great composer. Did all kinds of great work, but. I don't know how do you score a Verhoeven movie, dude?
I actually thought at the very beginning that it was an homage to the Conan score. Mm. I actually like it starts out sounding like, oh, whoa, there's a variation here. They're trying to tell me something that they really like this other movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair enough. All right, here's one about Cox losing points with women forever. So here's that.
You're going to be respectful, compliant, and appreciative the way a woman should be.
Ooh.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of misogyny in this movie.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
it's just that it only has two women that aren't just only sexual creatures.
Right.
And both of them are complicated and not in the good way.
Yeah. And Verhoeven, the way he thinks, he probably thought of the two main actresses as four boobed anyway. So who knows?
You put them together, you get four boobs.
You have the four boobs when you push them together. Yeah. Where is vagina head?
I always wonder, did you like see a Paul Verhoeven documentary or something?
No.
Do you, Do you know anything about him?
I don't know
him?
A like, thing about his accent. I do that I totally out of no knowledge. In fact, you know,
I feel horrible that I don't know more about him because he's a huge influence in my life.
What we need is the lady with three breasts.
Here, we're going to find him real quick.
See if there's a YouTube video, like interview with Paul Verhoeven.
Here you go.
He's a ruggedly handsome guy, by the way.
Q&A with Paul Verhoeven. Okay, here he is. Let's see what he has to say. Okay, great. Here we go.
Bing, bing, bing. And then send it in to us. So I will look at the scripts, and I will look at their movies.
See, told you.
Yeah, Scott's got it dead on.
We will look at the film. Like, we will decide where the RoboCop goes next. Yeah?
This is how good looking he is. If you took Ian McKellen and mixed him with Richard Gere,
yeah,
you get
it.
Paul Verhoeven.
Yeah, you got the great white hair. You got awesome teeth. He's actually kind of a good looking old guy.
In preparation, I'm assuming, for his latest movie, he did a TED talk not that long ago about sexism in gaming. So maybe he's trying to make up for all of his sexism that he brought
sexism
to us.
Sexism in gaming? Really?
Yeah. Is that really him? Because it looks so young. Like the person giving the TED talk.
You're right. Well, who starts it out? Maybe it's.
I'm looking
maybe
at something
is. Maybe
else.
You're right. Maybe
I'm not
that's
looking
a different
at Verhoeven
Paul.
There. I'm looking
yeah,
at
that's
him.
Not, and, that's another Paul Verhoeven. You're right.
Yeah, that's not the same dude.
I thought the same thing, though. I'm like, wow. Well, it would go with the. The movie
the
he's
movie.
Doing, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, here's the real Quaid.
You think this is the real Quaid? It is.
I love that. I love that whole bit.
I did too.
It was really funny.
Because that could have gone so wrong.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah.
Well,
let's
just shoot him to be sure, yep. Right? What's up? You know, we're wasting a couple bullets. Well, let's go ahead and try.
Yep. Then the final scene where they're trying to make right before everything goes real crazy, he tries to make a deal. With Ronnie Cox and Arnold, and this is the dialogue there.
What kind of a deal?
There you go. That's the end of it. That's the movie. Hey, look at this. Guess what we have? We have before us, whoops, where'd it go? A film sack checklist. This is where we check things off, and I have to push the thing. Hold on. There we go. In the future, we will use 9x16 ratio video instead of the other way around. Check. Smack a rat in the head with chocolate? Check. And finally, the cab driver has 5 kids to feed? Check. We got it. Quit telling us. Jeez. Star Trek connections, we have a ton. Oh, my gosh. And we're only going to give you a few of these in highlighted in yellow, so I'm going to pull this up. Jerry Goldsmith, obviously the music. He did all that stuff in Trek. Let's see. John Powell, he wrote the TNG episode for The Child. Let's see. Lysia Naff played Mary in TNG, played Sonia Gomez in the episode Q Who, also in Samaritan Snare. Let's see. Gal Dukat, we talked about him. That's Mark Alamo. How do you say his name?
Alamo.
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 Robert Picardo, voice of Johnny Cab. He's also the doctor on Voyager. Ronnie Cox, who plays Velos Cohagen in this, played Edward Jellicoe in the episode
Captain Jericho.
Yeah. One of the biggest dicks in Star Trek history.
Oh, yeah.
And then Roy Brocksmith played Dr. Edgemeyer, played Zactum Zirna Calamari in the episode Peak Performance in TNG. He was wiggling fingers in the game Strategema against Data. So he's the guy doing that.
The hardest thing for me about those episodes, Chain of Command, with There Are Four Lights, is that in the end you find out that Captain Jericho was right to do what he did all along and piss off the entire crew. They almost mutiny against him, and he was right. That jerk was right.
Yep, he was. He was not wrong. All right, this is the moment where I tell you the soundtrack grade is RGS for rather Goldsmithy. It was fine. It was fine. I just don't think it matched the stuff very well. All right, Twitter post time. This is where you guys sum it up in 140 characters or less. Let's go crazy today and start with, I don't know, Randy.
Total Recall. What it's lacking in developed villains, sympathetic heroes, and Tom Arnold-esque sidekicks is totally made up for in 50% more tits per chest.
Yeah.
Nice.
You know, the prosthetic was pretty good. More. Again, the makeup in this movie and stuff, pretty good. Like, I'm not, you know, I've never seen a three-boobed lady, but it was convincing.
Well, they didn't, even her.
Close enough.
What do you mean, her what?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, the obviously all three of them were prosthetic, but I don't know. They looked all rubbery fake.
Did they to you?
They did to me.
I think they looked.
And you're talking to a man who's looked at lots and lots and lots
of
boobs.
Because it was a pause for at least a good 20 minutes while I analyzed.
Yeah,
situation.
Of course.
I had to freeze frame the movie and
Look real close. Zoom in. Zoom and enhance. You had to do all that.
Right. Zoom enhance.
Let's now go to Brian Dunaway.
Total Recall, like a film adaptation of a Philip K. Dick story, not directed by Steven Spielberg.
Okay.
That's all. Just a jab.
Just another jab at that. Okay. You know, I still love that movie. There's nothing you can do to me to change that. I think it's amazing. We'll and I just saw the great future. I forgot they did a Futurama episode that was a Total Recall. Or not Total Recall. Total Minority Report kind of thing. It's awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really funny. Really, really funny. How they predict the future is a hoot. Anyway. Next up, Brian Ibbett.
Total Recall. I think there must be a clause in Arnold's contract for him to have beautiful women hitting him. Sharon Stone hits him. Rachel Ticotin hits him. The only woman Arnold is able to get the upper hand with is his fat woman disguise, and he rips her head off.
Yep.
2 weeks. All right. Oh, look at this. We have right here in front of me the alternate titles. You can choose between one of these. Quote, how many bullets can your innocent human shield on the escalator take? Or
nice.
Three boobs and a baby. let's see. Emails. We got a couple of these. They come to us at filmsack@gmail.com, by the way. This one comes to us from Mike, who says, hi, I'm drunk. Listening to the...
Me too.
Says, listening to the latest show, couldn't hold back commenting any longer. The best acceptance speech of all time was Mr. Rogers' Lifetime Achievement Award at the Emmys. We were talking about Oscar achievement things.
Yeah.
Midnight Cowboy originally got an X rating. I'm pretty sure it was later given an R without any edits. What else? Hold on. I am only 39 minutes into the episode. Speaking of insects in your food, did you know the average Major League Baseball player swallows 8 baseballs per year in his sleep? Okay, I'm going to send this before I black out in time. Something I regret, Mike. There you go.
Too late.
Wow.
Drunk emails. Yeah. Those are awesome. Keep those coming, folks.
Yeah. Yeah. Get drunk and email us.
Yeah. I like
sure.
That
actually, I like that idea.
Just to his one point about acceptance speeches, we were speaking strictly Oscars. I agree that that Mr. Rogers one is amazing, but that was Emmys. Doesn't account for the rules. Dave Fuller wrote in. My voice is leaving me again. I just finished listening to the Hackers episode and was reminded
episode.
It was a while ago. Keep people go back.
Just
you know.
Listening to a Hackers episode.
It says, was reminded of some tropes that involve computers that drive me a wee bit crazy that we probably forgot. One, when you're looking at a computer in the dark, the image on the screen is projected on your face.
Yeah.
That is weird. That happened a lot in that movie. We never brought it up. Number two, whenever you need to destroy slash stop a computer, just shoot the monitor. Love the sack, though. Dave Fuller.
That was so true.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave, for pointing those out. As always, send us your emails, filmsack@gmail.com. We love them. Keep them coming. Our next film is Turbulence.
No, that is no longer streaming.
Oh,
it was
no.
Up there, and now it's
we
not.
Have added it to the we'll get to it if it's ever streaming again.
I keep
was so looking forward to Turbulence.
I was, too. I was told by a lot of people that it's really hard to watch, and I don't know why they would say that, but I guess we're out. Yeah.
So, just pushing ahead, our next film is going to be Surf Nazis Must Die, the 1987 trauma cult classic schlock movie.
Hmm.
It's going to be our second, only our second trauma film.
What was the first one? Toxic Avenger?
Yes, thank you. We have not watched Poltergeist. I don't know why that's on my mind. The following week, we're going to watch something on TV. I am going to push for an episode of The X-Files. I think there are some interesting ideas. There's Monday, which is an ode to Groundhog Day. Mm-hmm. There's Jose Chung's From Outer Space.
We just do the Peacock family. I'm not in.
The final repose. What was it? Somebody's final repose or whatever it was called.
Right. Yep.
What's the one with Deep Roy in it?
That was the family one. That was the Peacock family. Yeah. Do we do one that's like... known for being really good, or do we want? I mean, I think we should do like the that sewer monster, the
I want to get out of here. Let's have please email us, comment on our blog if you have a suggestion on which episode of X-Files we should watch, and if that suggestion is the episode First Person Shooter, please speak up, because I really want to watch
filmsack@gmail.com, or you can put it in the comments of this post that we put up. That'd be fine too. All right, so there you go. Surf Nazis Must Die, an X-Files episode. Then we got Cyborg, Starship Troopers 2. we're not seeing Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Scorcher, and moving on from there. There's Shut many down. More to come. That's going to do it for us. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Filmsack.com is our website. Our voice, we can leave voicemails now, by the way. I'm just starting to do this. You want to call, leave a voicemail? You totally can. We'll play it on the show, just like we do emails. 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462. Leave us a message. We might just play it on the show. You can email us, filmsack@gmail.com. That includes your attachments. Keep those things to a minute or less. That's kind of the rule. On Twitter, @filmsack. And leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever else you feel like it. That's going to do it for us. For me and for everyone here, including Brian, and Randy. Mm-hmm. We'll see you next time.
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Because otherwise, I'll erase your ass.